thanks to the Lord, please wonderful guidance in this first year, our Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit. Sometimes we enter into the spiritual realm in the prayer. It is so good. Can you imagine that even on earth, in spirit, you are able to feel our Lord Jesus Christ? How about if one day, someday, you go to heaven, and then you can behold our Lord Jesus Christ face to face? And can you imagine that He's going to reveal you a lot of wisdom? Many things you do not know right now, He's going to tell you one by one. And how glorious it is. The Bible says that the situation is something that your eyes never see, your ears never hear, your mind, your brain never thought of. That's how wonderful it is. We only foretaste the sweetness of God's glory in our prayer. Now, what is the first? What is the condition for us to be glorified with God? Anybody? What is the precondition to receive? Yes, suffering, right? You want to be glorified with God, you suffer with. You want to glorify with the Lord, you suffer with the Lord first, yeah? So that is very important. But in suffering, many people give up on God. Jesus said, it is only right after you suffering, you receive glory. Look at all the people in the wilderness for 40 years. They had suffering, and they give up on God. So we shall be better than the Israelite people. And you know what? In New Testament, God did not leave us alone. If you have faith, right, God will provide help on the journey to reach that glory.
Assuming, yeah, this is glory, yeah, and this is you, yeah. We're going to reach the glory of God. We have help. Number one. Number two. God himself.
This is a Paul's message.
And of course, if you have faith, right? You are able to obtain the Holy Spirit. If you have faith, you will believe in the Word. If you have faith,
for sure, you know that God is going to help you to attain that glory. Yeah? So again, to be glorified, it is, you have to do with your faith. To be glorified, it is the end. It is the end journey for our face to face. This is the end journey of faith. Because when you go to heaven kingdom, do you need to have faith anymore? No need, right? Because faith is to see something is not seen. Go to heaven kingdom, you don't need faith anymore because you already see what you have hoped for. Yeah? So from face to face, when you receive glorified of God, when you go there, faith is not there anymore. The only thing left is love. Yeah? So the Bible says there are three things. Faith, hope, and love. And love will last forever. Now let's turn to the Bible. The Bible can tell us that we shall rely on Holy Spirit so that we can reach God's glory. Yeah? Romans. Romans chapter 8. Verse 20. Maybe from verse 25 and 26. Huh? 25 and 26. Alex, would you please read? This talk about future glory, right? 26.
Likewise, the Spirit also.
Likewise, talk about this something that we have more, huh? In my English Chinese translation, 况且, besides, we have this help, yeah? Continue.
Likewise, the Spirit also helps us. Help in our weaknesses.
So Spirit will help us, right? On the pursuing of glory, the Holy Spirit will help us. Continue.
For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered.
Continue.
And 7. Now he who searches the heart knows that the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Amen. really, when you are in suffering, you are very weak. Yeah? A lot of times, you do not know what to say. But when you pray in tongues, Holy Spirit will help you to pray with power. I share this with you. Once upon a time, there were a lot of working youth joined our NYDS in the early days. Some working youth, they come here to pray for children. Yeah? The sister cannot have baby for a long time. They come here to seek for baby. Every time I see them, I see her kneel down in the front. She was crying and crying and crying. She did not know how to urge her sorrow to the Lord. But every time after the prayer, I saw her smiling face. Yeah? The bitterness changed to smile. The Holy Spirit must have interceded for her in a way we don't understand. So to pray in spirit, to pray in tongue is a mystery. It is really Holy Spirit intercede for us. A lot of times we pray for something that we do not know it is according to God's will or not. Like, for example, David wants to pray that his son to be resurrected when he died. He commit sin with Bathsheba. And later on, the first son with Bathsheba died. And he fasted 7 days and seven nights. Yeah? And then at the 7 days, the son died. If it's not the will of God, maybe you fast for 7 days and seven nights, it's not going to work neither. But if we pray in tongues, right, those who is not according to the will of God, the Holy Spirit, you know, will only like intercede for you whenever that is in accordance with the will of God. So sometimes you may pray something wrong or something that is not according to the will of God. But as long as you pray in tongues, no problem. Holy Spirit filter it out. Only the right thing will go to God. That's why to pray in tongues is much more precious than to pray in understanding. When you pray in understanding, you can only say some words that you understand. You can only pray for something you know. But Holy Spirit always pray for you something in the future that you do not know. So that's how wonderful it is. It can reveal to you something that you do not know. Maybe I share this with you. A sister testified to me. She was in Brazil praying. Praying. He did not think about a cousin, a brother that in the church. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit revealed to this sister, you got to pray for your cousin. And suddenly, you feel like a cousin, like a little soul, kneel down beside her. In the spirit, he can see that. And he can sense that her cousin was very weak. And looking for help. So she called from Brazil to LA, talked to her cousin, and realized that her cousin indeed was in trouble at that time. So that's how Holy Spirit can intercede for you. A lot of things you do not know, but it will reveal to us. Suffering the same thing, to reach the journey of glory, gloriness, there are many things in your life you do not know how to solve it. Again, Holy Spirit can help you. The second help is, of course, believe in the words of God, right? What is the word of God? Says over here, verse 28. I'm thinking maybe someone should read for me using microphone. And then I don't need to read, and everybody can hear you reading. Sit over here. No, I need Bible. Turn on this microphone, please.
Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose.
We know that everything works. We believe what? We believe the following word. Everything works for good to those who love God. This is word of God, yeah? You believe, yeah? You have faith to believe this statement. What did this statement say? Brother and sister, no matter what you have encountered in this world, maybe accidentally one of your family people died. Maybe you are not able to enroll certain university you'd like to go to. Maybe some whatever, good things, bad things, neutral things occur in your life. You got to believe this faith, this word. Everything works for good. Works good to those. Read it again. 万事互相效力，叫爱神得益处。
That all things work together for good to those who love Him.
Everything works together for good. Yeah. So anything will, even though it seems like a bad thing, but anything will work together for good. To who?
To those who love God.
Only if you continue looking forward to the glory of God. Only if you do not give up on God. It looks like it's a negative thing right now, but eventually it will turn to a positive thing. Like, look at your past life. At that time, you truly love God. And there's a bad thing that occurred in your life. What happened later on? Some people say, man, I did not enroll into the school that I like, right? But after you graduate from college, you turn back and say, man, thank God, this school is what God wants me to come here. Yeah? This is the right place for God. Even though it may not be my dream school, but God wants me to go there because there's a purpose for me to go there. Because when I go there, I can help people. Maybe when I go there, my spirituality can be strengthened. Right? So maybe you like someone very much. It turns out that is a, I'm talking about for those who are social users already, right? You like someone a lot, right? But it turns out the marriage is not working. And then you hear everyone say, God, it's not fair. How come I love you so much? But, you know, you don't give me this system, right? But after you got married, you notice, thank God. Thank God I can marry her. So as long as you love God, only years later you turn back, everything has the good will of God. Huh? So if you believe in this world, this world, right? No matter what, you will not give up on God. No matter what happens. Good things, bad things, neutral things, all things. But only if you love God. Right? Like, if you do not love God, I don't know what will happen. What will happen? Maybe you are walking on your own way. You are not under the guidance of God. Maybe it won't apply to you. Huh? So continue. If you believe in this truth, the Lord will help you. Huh? Third thing, we have God himself to help us. Let's read the conclusion first. Verse 31.
Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
32.
He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
33.
Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it God who is justified?
34.
Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also...
Maybe you got the English Bible. Go say.
Which person am I?
34.
Sorry about that.
34.
34. I'm done. Oh, who? Furthermore, is also reason. Who is even the right hand of God who also makes intercession for us? Oh.
So if God help you, who can against you? Yeah. God loves us so much. Even He give His Son to you. What else He will not give to you? So every benefit is in the hands of God. As long as you love God, what else God will steal it from not given to you? Yeah. So God is helping us. Yeah. God is helping us by giving us a very profound theory, no? I hope I can explain it well and you can take it to your heart. This is called predestination. Or predestination. God loves you, He predestined to choose you according to His own plan. Please read verse 29. This counter, no? 29 to 30.
For him he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, this he also called. Whom he called, this he also justified. And whom he justified, this he also glorified.
30, yeah? You read to 30, yeah? So you see the process is God predestined to choose us, huh? predestined to choose us, to foreknow us, yeah? Then, according to predestined, he called us. Wherever he called, he justified them, and those he justified, he will give them glory. Huh? What is predestination? The Bible says that we are chosen before the creation of the world. Yeah? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Please read.
Just as he chooses in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him.
What does it mean? He chose you, my brethren. He chose you, Israel, before the foundation of the earth. Even though it seems like it's an accident for you to come to this NYTS. But the Lord says that no, even though you are here, right? You're sitting over here. He already foreknew it before the creation of the world. Because in the spirit, yeah, there's no time and space, yeah? God already foreknew today's situation. Now, how do God predestine to choose you? Through two ways, right? Number one, you are born TCC member, right? And most of you are like that. You were born TCC member. So, by default, very likely your parents will, make you baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, right? And the second way God predestined to choose you is by what? Allow you to have a chance to listen to the gospel. After listening, you are able to understand it. After understanding it, you are able to accept it. Many people in the world, they don't have a chance to hear the gospel. Many people in the world, even though they have high education, they hear the gospel, they don't understand the gospel. Only those who can open their ears, they are able to understand gospels. Now, some people understand gospels, but they do not like to accept this faith. Do you know anyone who are like this? They know what you preach, but they say, hey, I just do not like to believe right now, yeah? Maybe later on they die, yeah? We have, I heard from an elder, he says that he testified that there was a doctor, huh? He was our friend, church member's friend, or church member's family member. He know our truth. He know that this is true church, right? When he cannot cure someone, some patient, he will refer this patient to True Jesus Church. Right? He said, True Jesus Church has miracles. There's God over there. But guess what? He himself do not want to believe in Jesus. Not yet. So, predestined, God will allow us to not only to understand it, but to believe in it. Now, predestination did not deny the effort of human being. You may say, oh, that's good, right? I was predestined before the foundation of creation. Then, I don't need to put effort to pray hard anymore because I know I'm going to have salvation, no? Not necessary. For example, God predestined a seed to have life, yeah? You have life, yeah? But without planting it, without watering it, is it going to grow? It is not going to grow. So Paul says that I plant, Apollo need to water. We need to continue to preach even though God predestined one of his friends to receive salvation. But even though that seed has life, it is predestined, you do not know until you truly plant it, you truly water it. Then it will grow. It will bear fruits later on. Huh? So predestination never deny the effort of human being. Now, third point is that predestination only talk about the grace of God. When you say God predestined to choose you, you should think about, thank God, God's love is so great. Even though I was still a sinner, I do not know him, he already loved me. We should have this kind of mentality. The Bible never teaches that God predestined a person to be doomed. Never teach us that God predestined a person to go to hell. So when we talk about predestination, we got to look from the angle of God's love and God's grace. So really, when we, so this is the help of God. God help you. God already determined that, you are predetermined that you will go to heaven, yeah? You will receive the glory, yeah? So on the journey, God will continue to help you. Therefore, for sure, you will receive glory. This is the kind of concept that we have. Yesterday, there was a sister asked me a question, or the day before. He said, what does it mean that God make Pharaoh hard-hearted? Is it truly that God make a person like to do the bad things? The Bible says God will not test men, yeah? God will not test men. So what does it mean? My personal understanding is that God may give a person up. God will give over that person to his desire. God will give Pharaoh up to his hardness. God did not intervene with his own decision. Right? Like, you think about Saul, Esau, and Jacob. Esau loved hunting. Right? Esau always goes outside to do whatever he likes to do. God never, shows on his way, say, and took a knife, yeah? God on the way. When Esau comes, they say, Esau, if you do not go back to the tent to listen to your father, I'm going to kill you. Did God do that like God did to a Baron? Do that to Esau? No, right? But what happened to Jacob? What happened to Jacob? When Jacob was on the way to his uncle's house, he was sleeping. He did not imagine that God would appear to him, right? He was sleeping on the pillow, yeah? Suddenly God shows up in a dream and tell him, hey, you know, a van later, angels up and down, right? Yeah, and notice, he started to notice, oh, this is the gate of heaven, yeah? This is a wonderful place. So, you see, God predestined, even before these two guys were born, yeah, choose to love Jacob by intervening in his life, but simply allow Esau to make his own decision. So, you know, when we say predestination, it's that we are lucky, yeah? God already wants you to walk on the right way. Maybe when you are on the edge of going to the wrong place, right? God may appear and, you know, just call you back. I don't know if there's a brother going to testify to you. He just came to join us today. He is the auditor, huh? He talked about he was lost before, but recently God intervened in his life. He feel like he already disconnected from true Jesus already. But God intervened to call him, to punish him, to make him feel like he almost died, using this very traumatic way to come back. Why? Because God intervened in his life. It's also up to his choice, right? Maybe after this severe punishment, later on he will decide to be hardened heart. If one person is hardened heart once, twice, three times like Pharaoh, and then 10 times God said, give up, I'm going to kill your firstborn. Right? So you might be hardened, it's your choice, yeah? But you know what? You have a privilege already. You are sitting over here. It is the help of God. It is the love of God. That means that God loves you. The only thing is that in the future, don't be stiff-necked. Yeah? Stiff-necked. If you receive punishment from God, remember, return, huh? Follow God's way. Because God will help you on the journey to the heavenly kingdom. You are predestined for this salvation. Again, God can predestine. You can choose not to be chosen. Yeah? So it did not deny human's will. So not only that, the Bible teaches us, because Paul had this kind of understanding, yeah? So he later figure out, really, because of God's help, nothing can separate him from the love of God. No? Let's read Romans chapter 8. Verse 35. Please read.
35. Which shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?
36.
As it is written, for your sake we are killed All day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter.
38.
For I am persecuted, that neither death, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life.
Death nor life. This is something that occurs in this world. In this world, there's death and there's life. Yeah. Even you die today. Even God resurrected today. Doesn't matter. Between death and life, nothing is able to separate you from the love of God. Continue.
Nor angel, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present.
Okay. Angels, principality, and power is what? Life and death is the physical world we are living, yeah? Angel, power, and authority, they are talking about spiritual realm. Nothing in the spiritual realm. Maybe, you know, maybe Satan come to stop you to draw near to God. The principality and power, yeah? Stop you from drawing near to God. Nothing, even their interference, cannot stop you from what? From the love of God. Continue.
39. Nor height, nor depth.
No height, nor depth. This is talking about what? Space, yeah? Continue reading. 38, the end.
Yeah, second part of 38. Nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things.
Okay. In the future, the things in the future, the things to come, this is about time, right? High and space, high space and low space, this is about space, yeah? So no matter in which time, in which space, there's nothing can separate you from the love of God. Continue.
Nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is...
Brother and sister, this is... Paul's persuasive, Paul's truly understanding. You know, brother and sister, you know how many people fail on this journey? How many people? I would say maybe half people fail on this journey, yeah? Half people. It's a very scary number, you know? Half people. Half believers, because the Bible says, when the Bible, in the judgment, right, half of them is what? Gold. Half of them is sheep, yeah? The Bible said two people are working in the field. One is taken, one is remained. So can you imagine that maybe half of your people over here will be saved and half of you cannot reach over there, yeah? So please take these words into your heart, huh? God, please be persuaded, huh? No matter what has happened in your life. Don't be separate from the love of God. When I look at my family member, I notice that some people fail in their marriage in the church. He likes someone, some sister, but the sister do not like him. Later on, he married a Gentile. He feel like, you know, church, he left the church because of that. Some people love the world. Their career is getting bigger and bigger. They are entangled by their businesses. They don't have time for church services anymore. You know what? If you do not go to church for a long, long time, unless God loves you very much, very likely will go the wrong direction. And if God did not keep you, very likely you will be distracted. Many people fail because they love the world. They are not kept on the face, yeah? Many people left the church because human being relationship. I don't like this holy worker. He's a hypocrite. He says this thing, but he do the other thing, you know? He's not like a Christian at all. He has no love. I don't want to go to church anymore. There are so many things which prevent you from the love of God. But at that time, please think about the glory. Eternal glory, yeah? How wonderful it is. If you ever imagine that wonderfulness, do you want to trade the current human being relationship, the current money, the current obstacle to exchange that moment suffering for their future glory, which is from infinity to infinity. So please, I really hope that we can see each other in heavenly kingdom. It's really nice to see you over here. But really, it would be much more wonderful that we can see each other over there. How wonderful it would be. I talk to the kids, yeah? When I go to heavenly kingdom, I'm going to run over the place to look for you. Right? So please make sure we see each other over there. Because that wonderful glory is so beautiful if we missed it. Okay, this is concerning the glorified. Now, Paul consider talking about Later on, Paul continue to talk about the faith and the Israelites, huh? Because remember, our theme is from face to face. Now we already talked about from face to face already, right? From glorified, it's all done, yeah? Now he come back to talk about, now what happened to the Jews? Remember, this letter is written to Rome. How many kinds of, there are two kinds of believers in Rome, yeah? Who are they? Gentiles? Believers and Jewish believers, yeah? Who has the majority of members? Gentile believers, yeah? So, you see, then when you go to church, yeah, you see, oh, how come most of the believers are Gentiles? What happened to the Jewish people? What happened between the faith and Jewish people? No, they're the same thing, you go to TCC, yeah? Do you see Israelite people got converted? In your church, any Israel got converted? I think long time ago we have a brother who? Your brother-in-law. He's a Jew, yeah? Sister, he's not a Jew?
His mother.
His mother was a Jew. Not even his son. Anyway. So when you go to church, you start wondering, how come God set covenant with Abraham? And then later on, his descendants lost the salvation. They don't believe in Jesus at all. What happened? Then the following chapters, Paul tried to explain those truths to us. Israelites do not have salvation. And Paul showed great concern about this event. Paul is the apostle of Gentile, isn't it? How come he became an apostle to the of Gentile? How come? Huh? The Jews rejected him. Of course, when he was chosen, the Lord already prophesied that he would preach the Gentile. But at the beginning of Paul's missionary, he always go to Jews first. You got to remember that. No matter where we go, he always go to Jews first. But later, after Jews reject him, he will go to Gentile people. And he's very concerning about Jewish people because he was Jew, yeah? And then he talked about Jewish has seven privilege. Let's read chapter 9, verse 4.
Verse 4, who are Israelites to whom pertain the adoption?
They're adopted by God, yeah? The Bible says in the book of Exodus, Israelites are my sons. So, Israelites were sons of God. Continue.
The glory, the covenant.
The glory. See, Israelites have behold so many glory in the wildernesses of God, right? Covenant. See, the Lord has made a covenant not only to Abraham, but also from Abraham to David. Many covenants was given to them. Continue.
The giving of the law. The service.
The law. Very, very obvious. Yeah, Mosaic law.
The service of God.
See,
the
there are a lot of religions that have a system to worship God, right? Also, God keeps Israel's people, how do you worship me? You know, again, you kill a lamb, you cleanse yourself, this kind of system. Continue.
Verse
5.
To
promises, yeah?
Many promises.
Okay, how many privileges does Israelites have?
Three.
Three? Seven, yeah? Seven privilege. This is how God favored them, including five. Continue. Then it will be seven.
Five. Of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came.
Okay. So even Christ physically are their forefathers, yeah? But, since the Israelites had such a privilege, they made not believe in Jesus, and made not believe in Jesus Christ. And Paul showed his great sincere love toward his own people. Please read verse 1 and 2.
Verse 1, I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience is also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. 2, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart.
Continue.
3, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen according to the flesh.
You can see how much love that Paul has toward his own race, yeah? He says that he speaks from his heart. He have great sorrow all the time for his own race. What do you mean, sorrow all the time? When I went to Hawaii, somebody told me a story. I feel very touched. A truth seeker's boyfriend is a believer. Yeah? He is about 1 year younger than me. And he died last year in NYTS time. We are already over here. He died last year in Hawaii. And through those years, and through this year, this girlfriend will go to the brother's tomb almost every day, yeah? Several times a week. I spent a time to visit his tomb in my last trips. I saw that there was new flowers on the tomb. And of course, his brother and sister told me that he will bring a Bible and go to the tomb and read the Bible over there. So this is great sorrow, yeah? Because he's just a true seeker. Like when I read this verse, you know, it made me think about this lady's situation. When Paul says that he has great sorrow constantly concerning his own race salvation, is it like this lady's needs our sorrow toward the brother, huh? So do you have that kind of heart toward your friends or to your own race? He says that nothing, Paul says that nothing will separate it from God's love to Paul, yeah? Right? No matter what, yeah? Not famine, not hunger, not nakedness, no soul. But over here he says that if for the salvation of his own race, he'd rather be cursed. Can you compare these two? Nothing can separate his love from God's love. Only this case, for his race salvation, he'd rather to be cursed. This is really a great love. This is like Moses, huh? Moses rather die, rather lose his salvation if the Lord did not forgive Israelites. Those who seek for death for his own brother and sister, those who seek to die for his own brother and sister, never die. They appear in the mountain of transfiguration. Of course, including Elijah. Elijah seek for death, but he did not die. But in that case, it's for his own weaknesses. He seek for death, but both of them was in the mountain of transfiguration. So if you truly have love, you want to die for your friends, right? You will never die. Somebody told me, you know, I like my mother very much, yeah? I pray to God, God, my mother is dying. I want to exchange my ears with my mother, yeah? To me, this kind of prayer, the Lord will never exchange that kind of ears. To me, personally, understanding now, God will be touched because of your love. God will not, you know, use condition to exchange for your love. Yes, I will take 1 year of your life to give it to your mother. I don't think so, huh? But because your love truly touched God, because you are willing to die for, you know, for your mother, that kind of love. So, you know, we have to determine to preach to our own race. You are in NYTS, the purpose to serve the Lord. Now, when you go back, there are many, many persons needs the gospel of God, huh? So we should not forget about this. Now, the Bible continues saying that, you know, not all the Jews can have salvation, huh? Not all the Jews can have salvation. Please read chapter 9, verse 6.
Verse 6. But it is not the word of God has taken no effect.
It is not the word of God is in vain, huh? Because the Lord says that He promised Abraham that He want to save Abraham's descendants, yeah? Then not all Jews have salvation. Then what happened? The Bible continues to explain that God did not lie to us. Why? Continue reading.
For they are not all Israel who are of Israel.
It gives two reasons why not all Israel are Israel, right? How many sons did Abraham have? Eight sons, right? Agree? If you do not agree, go back to read Genesis, yeah? One is who? Ishmael. The other is who? Isaac. The other six is from another wife called Chitula. Six more children from another wife. So Abraham totally had eight children, yeah? Later on, some people become Muslim, yeah? Become a Muslim country. Ishmael, yeah? Ishmael become Muslim country. So later you can see their brothers are fighting each other, yeah? Fighting with Israel. So you can see that not all the children of Israel belong to Israel. Right? That is number one. Number two, you can see that even the same twin, huh? Sarah, but God only choose Jacob and forsake Esau. Huh? Please read verse 11. Amen. Please read.
Verse 11. For the children not yet been born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works but of Him who calls. 12. It was said to her, to order shall serve the younger.
13.
As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated.
The hate over here, of course, is not strong word. It means that God did not choose Esau. Again, what is this? This predestined, yeah? Before they show their deeds, yeah? So salvation, we are called freely. You do not do any good to deserve salvation. It is God who choose you by His own will. Huh? And God allow Esau to do whatever he like. Did not interfere his own life. Yeah. So this is the absolute choice of God. Then some people will say, well, you know, this is not fair. Not all the children of Israelites are Israelites. Yeah. And therefore God will not choose all the Israelites. And it's not fair. How come God favor number two and not number one? And you feel it is a kind of unfairness, right? But verse 14, give us an answer.
Verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I have mercy, and I have compassion on whomever I have compassion.
So this is God's absolute choosing, yeah? You cannot say, okay, God, you are not fair. How come you only choose A and you are not choosing B? See, I think I told you this analogy, huh? Let's say if a rich man goes to an orphanage, yeah? He wants to pick up a person to adopt him as his own children. Now he goes to orphanage, suddenly he chooses you. Yeah, I like you very much. Why don't you come to my house? I will raise you, I will feed you, yeah? I will educate you. And, you know, can the other children say, it's not fair, how come you don't choose me? You only choose this guy, yeah? It is a favor the rich man showed to the kids. You were orphan, yeah? It is not, the rich man is not obligated to pick you up. Right? This is a rich man's choices. If you go to Canada, when the year that I went to Canada, it's 1995 or before that. I noticed in Canada a lot of hitchhiking, huh? You're scared of that right now. Hitchhiking. No more. It's illegal right now. Oh, that time when I went to Canada. A lot of hitchhiking. You see, so many people hitchhiking, right? You choose this one you pick up this one on your car and did not pick up that one. Can that one say, hey, you are not fair? How come you pick up that one and did not pick me? Can he complain about that? Of course, it is a personal choice, right? This guy is a man alone and looks very evil, so you don't pick him up. And this guy is gentle and, you know, you just like him, so you pick him up, right? You cannot compare the outcome and not pick up. You go to the supermarket, there are a lot of oranges. You like this orange, right? You pick this orange up because you like to eat it, right? The orange is saying, hey, it's not fair. How come you don't buy it? You don't buy us. You cannot say that, right? So that's the point of Paul. There's nothing wrong with God. Huh? We cannot complain to God. Then he asks an analogy, verse 19. Huh?
Verse 19, you say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will?
20,
but indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God with the things formed, say to him, who formed it? Why have you made me like this?
21,
does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another vessel for dishonor?
So this is, again, like the Bible is an analogy, like a potter and clay, right? Like if you go to visit a vessel making firm, flower vase film, yeah? You go there, you notice that there are a lot of fireplace to burn the clay, right? And you go to their display room, some vase, they imitate the vase of Qin Dynasty, yeah? Thick and elegant, yeah? Very, very beautiful. They put a lot of good colors on it. And one vase is about, let's say, $1,000. Yeah? Because some people, a big company, like to buy that because the company is good. They want to put that and put some decoration on it, right? But the owner need to make some small vase, like little one, maybe 50 cents per vase. Why? Because some people might go there, they don't have money, they want to buy that vase for their children as a souvenir, yeah? To put on their task. So every vase in the house of God has its own purpose. Maybe God make you this way, make you the other way. You are good in looking, the other are good in, you know, in usages. Everybody is different, but they are all made with the same material. The only difference is that, you know, it gives you more clay, the other one burn it longer time, or put in different color, but everybody's material is the same. And it's the decision of the owner, because everybody has its own purposes. That's why I make everybody different. That's why I make this world wonderful. If everybody's the same, what do you think? If no differences, what do you think? The world would be very boring, just like robot, right? Robot, everybody is the same, right? So good about it, yeah? So God has his purposes for everyone. So we should not complain to God. How come, God, I am so short, yeah? My nose is so flat. My eyes is so small. I am so short, yeah? Hey, how come I do not look like a model, yeah? Don't make me a model, yeah? Like a Tom Cruise or something. Tom Cruise is very too short. Anyway, so we shall not complain. No? I think I share this with you. There was a... Now, you got to focus on your good points, huh? On the purpose, what God wants you to be. I think maybe we should talk about that in the future. Huh? But you've got to accept yourself in the law of God. Accept who you are and do fulfill the purposes on you. Huh? Then the Bible continues to say, huh? Even though, now you've got a concept, not all the Jews are chosen people. Yeah, and it is not because God is not fair. Then Paul continues to give us another concept. That is, but the remnant of Israelites will be saved. Huh? Please turn to chapter 9, verse 27.
Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved.
Only the remnant will be saved, yeah? What do you mean by remnant? Anybody? The rest of the people, the survivor. What is left? The survivor will be saved. Please read chapter 10, verse chapter 10. I'm sorry, chapter 11. This is a mystery, yeah? Sorry, let me see. Chapter 11, verse 25. A mystery, no?
11, verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in power has happened to Israel until the fulfillment of Gentile has come in.
You know, after Gentile has come in, right? Some Jewish people is going to fulfill the number 26.
26. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob.
So, you know, this is yet to become true, yeah? In the future, the children of Israel, the remnant, will receive salvation later on totally. After the door of salvation in our church, in the Gentile land, the number is fulfilled. Salvation is fulfilled to Gentile people. Now, the remnant of the Jewish people will be saved. Oh, what does it mean? Many people believe that in the last day, there will be final war. Final war. At that time, two-thirds of the population will die. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 9. Chapter 13, verse 7 to 9, huh?
Chapter 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones.
8.
Verse 8. And it shall come to pass in all the land, say the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it.
All the land, no? All the land, two-thirds of the people will die. Only one-third left. Many people believe these three verses, yeah, is talking about the last war, yeah, last war. And in the land of, what will happen with the remnant, huh? Verse 9.
Verse 9, I'll bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God.
And this one-third of people will go through great suffering, like gold refining, yeah? We don't know what kind of suffering it will be, yeah? But they will go through certain kind of suffering. Huh? And then, later on, they will call upon the name of God, and they will be God's people. Really, when it comes to war, a lot of time it's very, very devastating. It's very devastating. That's right. Some people say that, huh? I did not read this article. I just heard it from the author describing it. It says that when the nuclear bomb dropped in Japan, this was nuclear bomb, yeah? 200,000 people died immediately. But because of the bomb, the nuclear bomb, those kind of radiation will arise, yeah? And it will come, start with the clouds, yeah? Later on, the clouds display, yeah? And rain comes down, yeah? A lot of land was poisoned. Not the war itself killed 200,000 people. Later on, they has plague follow. Because when people die, they are, like when you see the tsunami, tsunami in the Southeast Asia, what did they do with the body? Burn it immediately, right? If they did not burn it, what will happen? Yes. And guess what? If the disease comes and if it spread out, it's going to be a great disaster. So that's why they use that kind of way to do it, yeah? But imagine about how many people died. How can you burn so many bodies? Especially nuclear stuff. People say that 70 years after the war, no grass is able to be. You cannot find grass in that land. And in these 70 years, right? Because human beings drink the water, right? Which affected all the baby. A lot of babies are deformed. Yeah, deformed baby. So you can see our history can tell about the future. The future, the Bible tells us that the final war will occur in Armageddon. Where is it? In the Holy Land, yeah? In the Holy Land. Over there, you can see people from the north, and a lot of people will go there and fight, huh? Nowadays, we have a certain picture already. Nowadays, in the future, it's very likely. At the very beginning, Abraham's brothers fighting each other, yeah? It's a family problem, yeah? Later, it becomes race problem, yeah? Race problem. Israelites always have battle with their neighbor brothers, yeah? But nowadays, it's become a country's problem. United States is for Israel. Other countries for many people believe United States is for Israel. Other countries for Muslim world. Because United States is for Israel, you say Muslims are extremist. Started, you know, World Trade Center was bombed. England was bombed. But, you know, people believe that those kind of people, those kind of event will only increase more. And it will become a final war. Later will become final war. Some people will support Muslim because of petroleum. Some people will support the other country. And two groups will fight. And this will be in the Middle East, yeah? And that time, two-thirds of the population of the world, according to the Bible, will be gone. The remnant of the Israelites will call upon the name of God, and they shall receive salvation. They will be justified by grace. And we believe, the remnant of Israelites will come to our church. Why? For the following reason, yeah? Most of the denomination believe in Trinity. Is that true? Most of Christianity believe in Trinity. Israelite people believe in one true God, yeah? Right? Do we believe in one true God or Trinity theory? One true God. Similar, yeah? The same, not similar. Like, Israelite people go to synagogue on which day? When do we go to church? Sabbath day, right? The same. Israelite people, the Bible says, Greek like wisdom, Jewish people like miracles. You can find all kinds of miracles in Jesus' history. So many people, our elder and our church worker believe that in the last day, for sure, they are going to become one with us. So we got to be prepared too, yeah? One day, when this day comes, the truth can reach them. We don't need to worry too much because it is God's economic plan. The Bible says last day even the angel will go out and preach. And we know that at that time, the gospel preaching will be very fast. Huh? So God still loves the descendants of Abraham. Huh? We are confident that the remnant will join us in the future. Huh? And we shall pray that that day comes soon. So this is concerning the salvation of Jewish people. One day, the remnant of Jewish people shall be justified by faith also.